Before we begin, I'd like to emphasize that this podcast is an extension of my surgical work and research at Visionary Eye Doctors, and thank you all for tuning in every week or multiple times to kind of hear about our research and how we help patients. And thank you to all of you who have flown in from all over the world to see us here, so I'm very humbled by that. So it is my hope and desire to keep this information free to all of you, especially to my dear patients. And in keeping with this mission, we are very thankful to our first sponsor for this podcast, Wizard Dry Eye Mask. Many of you have heard me talk about the Wizard before. I have loved this product for years. It looks like this. I have one right next to my bed. So does my husband. I used mine last night. And even, you know, if I can't sleep, I'll use it. It's a wonderful product that you just plug in next to your bed or even at your computer. I've been known, if I start to develop a sty, to do the Wizard as I type and then switch, you know, if I have warm, just like a warm compress. So it works wonderful for that. So thank you to the Wizard. If you mention our name, podcast, Visionary Eye Doctors, Dr. Kramer's, they'll give you a 1-year guarantee. If anything happens to the product, just call them up and they'll replace it for you for free. So thank you to the Wizard Research team for sponsoring this podcast. Enjoy. Everybody, it's Dr. Sandy Laura Kramer, one of the board-certified eye surgeons of Visionary Eye Doctors. Thank you again for joining us for the EYE Show podcast. Please leave us comments, email us, email Katia, if you have any suggestions for future podcasts or any comments on our current podcasts. So today we're going to talk about viral conjunctivitis, pink eye. And mostly because I got a text from a friend this week and sent me a picture of her son and said, is this pink eye or is this from a previous like roughhousing, wrestling match with his brothers? And so we're going to talk about everything you've ever wanted to know about pink eye. And so when we say the word pink eye, we really mean inflammation that causes the eye to look red. So it's like a red eye and we don't know what it really is from. But when we really classically say the word pink eye, we really mean viral adenovirus conjunctivitis. So pink eye from a virus. That's really when we say pink eye to like other, what we would never use a term among surgeons, but that's really what we mean is kind of a viral conjunctivitis. But if you're just talking to friends and they say, well, he had a pink eye, we don't really know if it was a viral conjunctivitis versus allergic conjunctivitis versus bacterial conjunctivitis versus trauma versus dry eye disease. So we're going to go through all the different causes of pink eye and what to do if you have the viral conjunctivitis, because that's something that can be incredibly contagious. And we're going to talk about pink eye in terms of viruses and EKC or epidemic keratoconjunctivitis conjunctivitis compared to everything else. So if I have a patient come in, you come in to see me, or you text me a picture of your child, these are the questions that I'm going to ask you. Number one, was your child or are you sick? Were you sick? Did you have a cough or a virus in terms of an upper respiratory infection? Do you have a runny nose? Do you have any type of fever? We're going to now feel for your lymph nodes in front of your little auricle, this little kind of part of your ear, right in front of your ear itself, there's a little area called the preauricular area, which can sometimes have a little swelling called a lymph node. There's a lymph node there. And so classically, if we feel right here and we feel a bump, we say there's a preauricular lymph node, and it's most likely viral, believe it or not. Some people have it rarely from not a virus, but I'll also feel under the submandibular area and the kind of cervical area for any lymph nodes. And if I see there's lymph nodes and the person was sick recently, then it could be viral conjunctivitis. The next thing I'll do is put on my gloves because it can be incredibly contagious and we don't know what kind of viral conjunctivitis it is. There's certain viral conjunctivitis that go away in 2 weeks, 14 days, the norm. And then there's epidemic keratoconjunctivitis from certain types of adenoviruses that are incredibly dangerous. A colleague, when I was a resident, I've told the story before, she accidentally touched a patient that had epidemic keratoconjunctivitis, and then she touched her eye and it went to her eye, and she was miserable. She had to claim disability for a year from her residency because she couldn't see. The epidemic keratoconjunctivitis left these terrible scars on her cornea. So we take viruses very seriously, to the point that when we see a patient that has viral conjunctivitis, I know many of us will take our alcohol swab or our Clorox, whatever our Clorox wipes are, but alcohol swab, and we'll rip it open. We will even kind of take our pens and, you know, cover it all, and we'll do, like, on our fingers, of course, and the whole slit lamp, but the whole room gets literally sponged down with either, what is this, 90% alcohol, 80% alcohol, or Clorox wipes. Just alcohol on my eyelids. I'm super petrified because of this particular patient. So, and it can close down a practice, it can close down an office, so we're very careful with viral conjunctivitis. We put them in only one room, we put up the red flag, we make sure everybody has been, you know, cleaned that's in there, because we don't want that virus to spread to other patients and obviously to ourselves and our team. So we take it very seriously. And then the next thing I'll do after I put in my gloves is I'll flip the eyelid. So when we flip the eyelid, we're looking for little punctate kind of hemorrhages, which indicates that the virus is there and it's leading to a rupture of these inflamed vessels on the conjunctiva, specifically the palpebral. This is your palpebra, the palpebral conjunctiva. That's why we'll flip the lid, or we'll look under the lower eyelid at the conjunctiva. And if we see little punctate dots of blood or hemorrhage, we know that's probably a viral conjunctivitis, because very few other things do that unless you've been, like, you know, lifting really heavy weights or valsalving, you know, pushing down or rubbing the eye really hard. Even that doesn't really cause it. So that's classic for viral conjunctivitis. And then we treat your viral conjunctivitis, and I'll go through that in just a few minutes. Okay, so what are the causes of pink eye? Number one, the thing we're most worried about is viral conjunctivitis or epidemic keratoconjunctivitis in that category. But the most common cause of a red eye, believe it or not, is something called blepharitis or dry eye disease. Blepharitis means you have bacteria and mites, mostly mites called Demodex, on the eyelashes that will block the orifice of the meibomian gland that produce oil and lead to a cycle of inflammation that makes the eye very red, especially if you're fair skinned, especially if you have rosacea, or you have a loved one that maybe doesn't shower every day or doesn't wash their face every day, or you start to feel a little bump on your eyelid and then the eye's red. Number one cause in the world is blepharitis, dry eye disease. Number two is allergic conjunctivitis from allergies and similar signs, just red, but usually you'll have itching. With viral conjunctivitis, very often you have horrible itching, not always, but the difficulty is trying to determine if it's viral or allergic, or dry eye when you come in and you're concerned about viral, like an acute onset of viral of pink eye. So those are the top three. Other causes of pink eye include things like bacterial conjunctivitis, which is very rare, but you usually have like a purulent discharge, either yellow or green discharge, like just goopiness. And we're concerned about things like, you know, any type of staphylococcus, streptococcus, chlamydia, syphilis, COVID is more virus, but just thinking in that other kind of category, this is bacterial and COVID is viral, but just so I don't forget to mention COVID. Other things, and then we'll use it, you know, we'll treat with antibiotics, and we'll go through that. Subconjunctival hemorrhage, where you've literally been either taking aspirin or Advil, ibuprofen, or you lift something very heavy, or you strain down in Valsalva, or you have high blood pressure. A broken blood vessel of the surface of the eye can be very scary because it's super red, very beet red, and that's something called subconjunctival hemorrhage, meaning it's under the conjunctiva, which is the clear covering of the white part of your eye called the sclera. So you've heard of conjunctivitis, which we're talking about. It's an inflamed conjunctiva. When we say conjunctivitis, when we say subconjunctival hemorrhage, it means it's under the conjunctival, kind of like a saran wrap membrane over the white part of the eye, and it's a hemorrhage under that. And that usually takes about 2 weeks to clear also. It's like a bruise. It'll turn color. Sometimes it takes a few months. If you take ibuprofen or Advil or aspirin, it could actually get worse, and it can go all the way around the whole eye. So we try to just avoid that. And there's no drops that help with that. Number five is foreign body. Sometimes we've seen patients that didn't realize there was something in their eye, and sure enough, they have a foreign body, and we take it out. I had a friend of my son's, I've mentioned this before, who went through all of the Heights graduation with some small pain and red eye. And because he was so busy with graduation activities, he asked me during my son's graduation party, could you look at my eye? And so I looked at his eye and I was like, I think there's a metal foreign body on your cornea. And he's like, oh, and he realized it's been a week since he had it. And so by that time it had formed a rust ring in the cornea. So after the party, we went to my office, I took it out, but that was the cause of his pink eye, was a foreign body. Number six is more rare, angle closure glaucoma, because of the drain inside the eye. Often happens in patients that are over 50. They have a little bit of a cataract and their drain or the angle is a little narrow, and then it can get to be actually occluded and the pressure can skyrocket, the eye turns very red, sometimes a lot of pain, sometimes not that much pain, just redness. And so angle closure glaucoma is a blinding disease. And I've seen it happen many times where people go blind from it, preventable with a laser iridotomy, but that can also cause kind of this pink or red eye. And number seven, in general, episcleritis, uveitis, iritis, inflammation, either on the surface of the eyeball, the episclera, right under the conjunctiva, or inside the eye in the iris, so-called iritis, or the uveal tract, which kind of is uvea as in uva, like grape. It's kind of the pigmented tract around the eye. The uvea can get inflamed, or retinitis, or vitritis. All the itises is inflammation, like conjunctivitis. So that's what, those are the top seven causes of a pink red eye. So what do we do? So if it's viral conjunctivitis, we tell them it's very contagious, just like a cold. If you touch your eye and I touch my pen and somebody else touches my pen and then they touch their eye, they're going to get it in their eye. If I touch my eye and touch the other eye can get it. So if you're sleeping with somebody, use your own kind of pillowcase. If you use a towel, use your own towel. Just try to avoid it contaminating the other eye and also people at home and people around you. And so we try to isolate that. And then the next thing I do is actually I love using betadine, 5% betadine. I have a little sample on the YouTube version. Looks like this. We use this every day for surgery, ocular surgery, and it's very safe for most patients as long as you're not allergic to iodine. So you have to always ask that. If the patient's not sure, we'll put it on their skin, usually for about a few hours, and then we'll have them use this betadine at home. I've had many friends whose kids, you know, have pink eye, and they'll come over and I'll say, okay, let's give you a drop of betadine, and it often will go away really quickly as long as they're not allergic to this. And this is very good for bacterial and viral conjunctivitis. Now, let's talk about the research on betadine and viral conjunctivitis. And the same thing with some kind of doctors out there have recommended colloidal silver, and we're going to go like through tea bags and all kinds of stuff. We're going to go through the research on this a little bit in a moment. I think betadine does work. I had an optometrist a couple of years ago who came in with pink eye, and she's like, I can't have pink eye. I have like a whole week of patients that we were sure it was pink eye. And we, at that time, we had something called Adeno Plus. Adeno Plus used to be available, not for inexpensive, but now it's super expensive. And it's Adeno Plus would be a little cartridge. We would identify if it was a pink eye or not. And hers was positive. And so I told her, you know, I think you have to cancel your patients for the next 2 weeks. But the Adeno Plus we don't use anymore because the sensitivity, even though the specificity is very good, meaning it's like 93 to 98%. Specificity. So if it's positive, we know it's pretty much a viral conjunctivitis, an adenovirus. If it's negative, you could still have the sensitivity was only 38%. So it didn't really help us if it was negative. So if it was positive, we were sure. So anyway, it's available in some practices, but it's not readily available. So hers was positive. And so we put a drop of betadine. She texted me by the end of the day. She's like, the symptoms are completely gone. Now, whether it was truly, you know, adenovirus, we think it was, it's not 100% specificity or sensitivity, but it did work for her, and that's when I started using it on patients. So if a patient comes in, they have viral conjunctivitis, I say if you have no allergies to betadine, I would probably recommend using betadine once or twice a day. And it does burn when it goes in, so we give an anesthetic here, but you can't use an anesthetic at home because it's risky to just use anesthetics or give patients anesthetic drops. So it does work. Now let's go through the research. So if you look at the research on kind of meta-analysis, prospective randomized controlled studies with betadine and viral conjunctivitis, of which there are very few, the studies do not show it to be effective. And so I would say there's a question, and that's one meta-analysis that was done recently. It's something that I still recommend because by the time we actually do a randomized controlled prospective double-blinded study, which will take about years, because there's no money in betadine. Nobody's really making a profit out of this kind of drop. Or many antivirals, actually. I would say that if you are not allergic, I know I would use it on my eye. Check with your ophthalmologist, medical doctor first before you use it, but I would say consider it. And I have used this for kind of, as you know, preventing COVID and viruses, sticking it up my nose, gargling it, and it does work for me. But check with your medical doctor first. Okay, colloidal silver. There's been some recommendations of using colloidal silver. There is a paper that was done in the Philippine Journal of Ophthalmology on colloidal silver and kind of like a adenovirus, and they say it really doesn't help. It helps with certain types of bacterial kind of conjunctivitis, but not really with viral. I would say that there's, again, no, and I looked on PubMed, there's there's no studies that I could find on colloidal silver and viral conjunctivitis. Again, there's no money in colloidal silver. The one thing they did say, if you're going to use it for, let's say, a potential bacterial conjunctivitis, which it does help with certain Staphylococcus aureus, you have to use at least 30 parts per million. A lot of the things on Amazon are only 10 parts per million. There's risks with colloidal silver. You could get too much absorption, which can turn your skin kind of a silver metallic color. Believe it or not, it can happen. It has a term, agrosis. And so you don't want to develop that. And furthermore, most silver is unstable, meaning as soon as you open the top, the molecules don't work as well, especially if you put it in a plastic bottle. Like with our betadine, we have it in little plastic bottles so we can use it for different, you know, rooms. You can't do this with colloidal silver. You have to keep it in this glass dark bottle because it will decompose. And if it touches plastic, it will actually stick to itself and it won't really work as well. So colloidal silver, I don't think is going to necessarily do much harm if it's used rarely, but most ophthalmologists do not recommend it. I don't know a single eye surgeon that has used it on themselves or has recommended it. I would say I would probably for myself stick with betadine, but if I was allergic to betadine, I probably would try colloidal silver just to see how it works. We don't have any data on the meibomian glands or the goblet cells or the lacrimal glands or the delicate cells, whether it damages it. Betadine doesn't seem to damage those cells. Colloidal silver is a harder one to say. Okay, now what else can you do? So obviously all the things you do for upper respiratory infections, you've heard on my previous podcast, things like for viral conjunctivitis, we'll do a cold compresses to help with the itching. So cold, I'll have people use their warm compresses to keep the eyelids clean, use maybe a little bit of baby shampoo, separate eyes if it's not contaminated, both eyes, just keep the eyelids clean so you don't develop a bacterial infection. Sometimes viruses take advantage of the fact that you're down and they'll start to infect the tissue. So we'll keep the eyelid clean. Some ophthalmologists will give an antibacterial, either an antibacterial drop or ointment for viral conjunctivitis to prevent the super infection, or if they're not 100% sure, they'll do that. Sometimes they'll give a steroid. I generally try to have patients either go natural, try to just go through it, you know, for 2 weeks if it's not too uncomfortable. If patients are miserable, yes, we'll give a steroid. And the data on steroids show that it will extend the shedding of the virus past 2 weeks, but the comfort sometimes is worth it. So if you're really miserable, you're itching, you cannot work, or you have epidemic keratoconjunctivitis, which is truly miserable and can lead to scar tissue, we will give steroids, okay? So just keep that in mind. So if you're miserable, you've been trying to kind of, you know, fight this virus of your eye for a couple of days and you can't work, you're miserable, you're weeping, you're tearing, it's itching, it's red, it's painful, call your doctor. If you do not have glaucoma or a terrible cataract, really just glaucoma, we will give you steroids. And just know you're gonna just need it probably at least for 2 weeks, if not a little bit more. So number one, if you think you have pink eye, the first thing I have people do is put a little cool compresses on the eye, keep the eyelids clean, make sure you don't touch the eye and then touch the other eye. I will take a little drop of betadine, you can put it like with your eyes closed, put it in the corner, open the eye, it'll go in. It'll burn a little bit, but it's not excruciating pain, but it's a little burny. And then I'll usually use the drop about twice to four times a day if you have no allergy. Then cold compresses for the itching or the kind of pain you're having, just keep it clean. Otherwise, with twice a day warm water, you can use a little bit of baby shampoo on the one side. I've been known to use like tea tree oil, just a diluted tea tree oil to keep the eyelid clean. Tea tree oil is also an antiviral, but you never want that to go into the eye, especially not I would never put it in the eye anyway, but just you can dilute it. Just keep the eyelashes clean so bacteria doesn't get into the conjunctiva. And then artificial tears, non-preserved, you can put them in the refrigerator because it makes it cold. That will help. You can use that as often as you need to help with the comfort. And then we just treat it as a virus. Yes, to steroids sometimes. If you're not deciding to use steroids, you don't need it. It's going to take 2 weeks. And we usually will see patients back in about 3 weeks. If it's epidemic keratoconjunctivitis, a whole nother ball game. We will treat with steroids at least four times a day, sometimes more. And we'll see patients usually back in about 3 weeks to make sure that there's no issues with the cornea, scar tissue, or vision issues. Treatment for dry eye disease, you've heard my videos. Treatment for allergic conjunctivitis is we treat the allergies, and so cold compresses are good for that. So cold is to decrease inflammation and for allergies. Heat is to keep the meibomian glands and keep the bacteria away from the eyelids and to keep the meibomian glands kind of functioning. So that's for heat. Sometimes we'll do both. The difficulty between viral and allergic is kind of deciding what's the symptoms before and what's happening after you see the patient. I will tell them, I can't tell if it's viral or allergic. The Adeno Plus, let's say, was negative. Then we say, if you get better in a couple days with the treatments I give you, I might give a steroid. If I say, if you get better with the steroid and you feel like it goes away, it was allergic. If it just gets worse, even if I give you steroid and it's really lasting past 2 days and it's continuing for the full 2 weeks, it was viral. And but we treat everybody as if it was viral just because we don't want you to infect the other eye if it starts only in one eye. And then, of course, kind of not touching anybody else. Treatments for subconjunctival hemorrhage I mentioned is just basically just trying to let the course kind of the blood absorb on its own. Treatment for foreign body or trauma, get rid of the foreign body, protect the eye if there's any trauma. Angle closure glaucoma, we treat the angle closure. Uveitis, we treat the uveitis. And then the last thing I should mention is a hyphema, which means you have blood inside the front surface of the eye, which can sometimes make the eye look red because the actual inner part of the eye is full of blood, and that needs to be treated by an ophthalmologist right away. So when in doubt, see your ophthalmologist. I hope you found this helpful. Thank you for joining in for the podcast, and have a great day.